But happy Mother's Day. It's so great to see so many of you mothers here. It's so great to see family here for the floor. So welcome to all of you. And it's a great day to celebrate moms, right? I hope you have something planned, right, everyone? If you don't, please go do something before you go home and see your mom, right? Plan something out for her. And moms are great because moms, they just know things, don't they? They always seem to know like what you're thinking or what you're going to do before you do it. Because as you're going to walk out the house, don't moms say, don't you do anything stupid? Because they know their kids and they know what their kids are going out to do. Or they have great advice too, like don't stick your finger in the electrical socket, right? Like moms are just brilliant. But moms also have these words just when you need them, right? Like when you're feeling down or maybe you're not doing well in school or maybe a friend isn't being a friend. And you can always go to mom because mom is there with the best hugs and the kindest words because she loves us, right? And she wants the best for us. And today, as we continue our series, we're going to look at a prophet. And this prophet's name was Moses. And Moses, just like moms, wanted the best for the people that were following him, the Israelites. He wanted the best for them. And Moses was a prophet because Moses shared the words of God. That was the job of a prophet. A prophet's job was to share the words of God with the people. And those words were life, and those words were blessing. And turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 1, it's the fifth book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then Deuteronomy. And turn to chapter 1, so Deuteronomy chapter 1. And I want to set the stage for you, because later on in chapter 18, Moses is going to say something about another prophet that is going to come. But that won't make sense until we understand the beginning of the story here in Deuteronomy. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1, it says this: these are the words of Moses that he spoke to all Israel in the desert east of the Jordan. And if you look at the map on screen, I want you to see this map because it puts into context what's going on here. And that red circle is where Moses is standing, and he's standing with the Israelites, and he's east of the Jordan River. And a long time ago, God made another promise to a man named Abraham. And he said, Abraham, you're going to have this land. And this land is going to be beautiful. It's going to provide you food and sustenance. It's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey, it says. And that land's called the Promised Land. And I've outlined that in green on the map for you, okay? So the Israelites in Deuteronomy are on the verge of God's promise. They are on the outside at the moment, but they are looking in, and they are about to enter in to God's promise if. That's a key word, if. And I say if because years before this generation was about to enter into God's promise, there was another generation. And that's the red dot beneath the green circle. And that generation also received the same promise of God that they could go into this land that was flowing with milk and honey. That would be their home. But see, that group never made it. And we see that in Deuteronomy chapter 1. If you look at verse 21, Moses begins to retell the story of the Israelites and how they had come out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea and across the desert, the Sinai Peninsula there, and made it to this place called Kadesh Barnea. And it says in verse 21 of Deuteronomy chapter 1, see, the Lord your God has given you the land. Go and take possession of it. As the Lord, the God of your fathers, told you, don't be afraid, do not be discouraged. And so God's making this promise. He's saying, hey, this is what God wants for you. It is right here in front of you. Go and take it. Go and take it. But what do they do? Look at verse 26 of Deuteronomy 1. But you were unwilling to go, and you rebelled against the command of the Lord. Skip down to verse 34. And when the Lord heard what you had said, he was angry and swore, not a man of this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give to your fathers. This map is a story of two generations of Israelites. And the first generation, the red dot on the bottom, had come up to the promised land. It was everything you ever could have wanted. Imagine a mansion with 100 acres. And imagine every time you opened your refrigerator, there was Mountain Dew. Amen. And imagine every time you went out to the grill in your backyard, there was always freshly grilled chicken. And imagine it was all yours, all the time. And God had said to them, this is what I'm going to give you if you listen to my command. But what did this first generation do? They rebelled, didn't they? The words of God came to them through the prophet Moses, the words of God, and they completely ignored the words of God. And because of that, you know what God made them do? He made them wander in the desert for 40 years. They wandered around in the desert because they rejected the words of God. They rejected the prophet of God. But now there's a second generation, and these are the kids and the grandkids of that first generation that never made it into the promised land. And this is the red dot on the top and to the right. And Deuteronomy is Moses speaking to this group. The entire book of Deuteronomy is one long sermon. And it happens in this one place. And Moses is trying to share with them the words of God. And in fact, the sermon is so long that at the end, Moses dies. No, I'm not kidding. It's for real. Deuteronomy 34, Moses passes away. Part of that was because of his own disobedience to God's word. But this sermon is so long that at the end of it, God takes Moses up to a mountain, Mount Nebo, and Moses passes away there. Because even Moses, the prophet of God, the most incredible prophet to ever exist, didn't listen to the words of God, right? And so now the Israelites, the second generation, have this choice. Are we going to listen to the words of God? Or are we going to ignore them? You know, when they ignored the words of God, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. And I wonder if at times you feel like you're in a desert. I wonder if at times you feel lost and confused. I wonder if at times you feel like me sometimes. How am I going to move forward? And I believe we've all been there at some point. I believe maybe some of you are there right now. Because we all have deserts in our life. We all have these moments where we feel completely lost. And we feel like we're just wandering around and wandering around and wandering around. We're so lost. And I understand lost. I know what it means to lose your way. I felt like I lost my way as a junior in high school. And I wandered. And I wandered. And I wandered. And as I wandered, I realized I was in a desert. And what I realized in the desert is that there isn't milk and honey like God promised. And there isn't life like God promises. And there isn't blessing in the desert like God promises. And it was all because I decided not to listen to the words of God. And Moses, as a prophet, his job was to tell people the words of God so they could listen and they could obey. Just like this second generation, you and I have a choice this morning to obey the words of God or not. To obey the words of God this morning and to enter into the promises of God, to enter into life, to enter into blessing from God. Or you have the choice this morning to be like the other generation of Israelites who rejected the words of God. And wandered, and wandered, and wandered. And so Deuteronomy 18, it makes sense then. You can turn there. That Moses is going to talk about another prophet. Remember I told you that Moses, he dies at the end of Deuteronomy? Well, when he passes away, who is going to then tell the Israelites the way in which they should go? Who's going to be the prophet who brings them the words of God? And Moses says this in Deuteronomy 18:15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let us not hear the voice of God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die. They were asking God to send somebody to help them move forward. And then in verse 17, the Lord said to me, what they say is good, and I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. And I will put my words into his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. And if anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. And so as the Israelites are on the verge of moving into the promises of God, into the life and blessing that God promises, Moses says, hey, look, there's going to come another prophet, and you got to listen to him, because he's going to speak words of life, and he's going to speak words of blessing. And if you ignore him, God will call you to account. If you ignore him, you will wander in the desert just like your parents did, just like your grandparents did. Nobody wants to wander in the desert. Nobody wants to be lost. Nobody wants to be confused. Nobody wants to be hopeless. You see, we all want to move forward in life, but sometimes we don't know how to move forward. And what Moses says is, if you want to move forward, there's another prophet who's coming. Listen to him. Listen to him. Well, who is that prophet? Turn in your Bibles to John, the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. God sent many other prophets throughout the Bible after Moses passed away. There were people like Isaiah and Jeremiah, and people like Hosea and Amos and Joel and Obadiah and Jonah and Nahum. It's a whole bunch of prophets in the Old Testament, but they weren't the prophet, because Moses was speaking about the prophet of God who would come one day and would speak to them words of truth. And in John chapter 1, verse 19, we're introduced to a man named John the Baptist. And John the Baptist's job was to go before the promised one of God, the prophet of God, and kind of prepare the way. And John was a strange-looking man, because we learn in the Bible that he had crazy wild hair, and he walked around in a coat made of camel's hair, goat's hair, and he ate wild food and honey. And when I think of that picture, I think of like a college student trying to wake up for like an 8 a.m. class. Or like trying to get your college kid up on a Saturday or your teenager up on a Saturday at 8 o'clock, and they roll out of bed and their hair's all messy, and they just grab a Pop-Tart, and the Pop-Tart is all over their sweatpants that they fell asleep in, right? This is John. He's a wild man. And some people, some Jewish people, want to know if John the Baptist is the promised one of God. And here's what we see in verse 19, John 1, 19. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. Verse 20, he did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Christ. They wanted to know if he was Jesus, and he said, no, I'm not. In verse 21, they asked him, who are you? Are you Elijah? Elijah was another prophet that was supposed to come, and he said, I am not. Verse 21, they ask him this, are you the prophet? Are you the prophet? See, since Moses in Deuteronomy 18 had talked about someone who would share the words of God, who would lead them out of the desert and into a land flowing with milk and honey, into life, into blessing, there was always this in the back of their minds, and they've been waiting and waiting and waiting for this prophet who would come and who would lead the people out of where they were into blessing. And so they come to John the Baptist and they ask him, are you that person? Because we've been waiting for so long. And he says in verse 21, no, I'm not. I'm not. But in verse 29, something happens. Look at John 1, 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, this is the one I meant. This is the one I've been talking about. This is the one who is greater than me because he came before me." When Moses prophesied, when Moses told the people in Deuteronomy 18 that there would be another prophet who would lead them out of the desert and into life and into blessing, Moses was talking about Jesus, and John the Baptist confirms it. And he says, "Look, there he is. It is that man that you need to listen to." When you're in a desert and you're looking for the way out, Jesus. When you're in a desert and you're looking for the way out, Jesus. When you're confused, Jesus. When you're lost, Jesus. When you're struggling, fill in the blank for me. Wow. Right? This is the one Moses said to look to. Because he's the one who's going to lead you out of the desert. He's the one who's going to lead you into the promise of God. But we have to listen to him, don't we? We have to listen to Jesus. And part of the problem that we see is people weren't sure of who Jesus was. In John chapter 4, Jesus says, "A prophet does not receive honor in his hometown." Jesus was the prophet, and he was saying, "I don't even get respect in my hometown." People were still confused about who Jesus was. And it makes sense because a lot of these people grew up with Jesus. And now that they've seen him turn into a grown man and the things that he's saying, they're wondering if he's crazy or not. And we understand this because all of you have grown up, right? And maybe at some point in your life, maybe a neighbor that you knew when you were little comes to you and says, "I can't believe you turned out so good." Right? I mean, you were the kid who ate glue. You were the kid who tried to shave my cat with a razor. Right? And then we grow up, and it's almost unbelievable. In the same way, these people who spent all their life with baby Jesus and then young Jesus and the Jesus that used to do all these things, right? They go, "I can't believe you turned out like this. There's no way you're the promise of God." Can I get a microphone? Is that okay? This happened in the first service. All right, we're good. So Jesus grows up and people can't believe that he's the prophet, the promise of God. And even towards the end of Jesus' life, when he's being beaten by soldiers, being ready to get crucified, they punch him and they say this, "Prophesy and tell us who hit you." There were people throughout Jesus' life who never believed that he was the prophet, but yet they were looking for a prophet. They were waiting for somebody to lead them out of the desert. And this morning, what you think of Jesus is incredibly important. Who you think Jesus is incredibly important this morning. Because Jesus is going to share words with us, and either you can reject them and stay in the desert, or you can accept them believing that Jesus is the promised prophet of God and walk into life and walk into blessing in a land flowing with milk and honey. But it depends on who you think Jesus is. Let's turn to Hebrews. Let's just see who Jesus is. In the book of Hebrews, we see chapter 1, the author tells us about Jesus. And the author of Hebrews says this in Hebrews 1:1, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." Jesus is God's Son. God spoke through prophets, spoke through Moses, spoke through Isaiah, spoke through all these prophets in the Old Testament. But Jesus is the prophet. And God has chosen to speak to us, to you and I, through Jesus Christ. The words of life and the words of blessing come through Jesus Christ. And I need you to see how amazing the Word of God is. The power that are within the words of God. The power that come from the words of Jesus. It says at the end of verse 2 that the Son was appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. God made the universe through his Son, Jesus Christ. Through his Son, Jesus Christ. We learn in John 1 that not only does Jesus speak the words of God, but Jesus is the Word of God. He is the Word of God. And it is through Jesus Christ that all things were made. It is through the power of the words of God, and that word is Jesus, that all things came into existence. In Genesis chapter 1, the earth was formless and void. And there was darkness. And do you know what God said into that darkness? What did he say? He said, "Let there be light." The power of the words of God speaking light into darkness. And as God looked at his creation, he noticed that there were no birds flying around. And so what did he do? He spoke the words, and into existence came birds. And he looked into the sea and he said, "You know what? Fish." And he spoke the words, and out of nothing came what? Fish. And he spoke the trees. And through the power of the words of God, all things came into existence, even us. By the power of the words of God, the Israelites were freed from slavery in Egypt, because Pharaoh wasn't going to let them go. But do you know what God spoke to Pharaoh through Moses? He spoke 10 words to them, and he spoke 10 plagues to him. And by those 10 words, the Israelites walked out of Egypt as free people. By their own power? No, by the power of the Word of God. And who is the Word of God? Jesus, the prophet. But not only that, when the Israelites came to the Red Sea and they thought their life was going to end because the waters filled the sea and they couldn't cross, do you know by whose word they crossed the sea? By God's word. Because it's powerful enough to split the sea so they could walk right through it. Didn't we sing that this morning? See, within the words of God, there is power. Power. Within the words of God, there is power for you in whatever desert you are walking in right now. Whatever question you have, whatever doubt you have, whatever confusion you have, whatever struggle you have, there are power. There is power in the Word of God, and that Word of God is Jesus, the prophet. Because Jesus came to say what God asked him to say. And so what did Jesus say? If Jesus is the power of the Word of God, what did Jesus say? In John chapter 14, 6, Jesus says this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus said, "It is through me, it is through nobody else that you will ever get to know God. It is through me that you will never have your sins forgiven. Only through me. It is through me that you will leave the desert that you're in. It is only through me, because I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." Do you remember the first generation that wandered in the desert? Do you know what they tried to do? After God told them to go into the promised land and they said no, they decided to try it on their own anyway, because they realized they messed up. And by their own power, when they went back into the promised land, do you know what happened? They got whooped bad because they tried it on their own. Let me tell you something. When you're in the desert, when you're in the desert of your life and you're looking for a way out, whatever idea you have is not a good idea unless that idea is Jesus. Amen? Because what does he say? "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." And through the Word of God, there is power, the same power that created everything out of nothing, that can lead you out of the desert. But not only did Jesus say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," in John chapter 8, verse 32, he's talking to his followers now, and he's saying this, if you follow me, if you take my words and you apply them to your life, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free. Isn't that what we want when we're stuck in the desert? Don't we want to be free? Isn't that what the Israelites wanted when they were slaves in Egypt? Did they not want to be free? But it was not by their own effort, not by their own power, not by their own words, but by who? But by the promise of God that they left Egypt. And when they came up to that sea, God split it and they walked right through it into freedom. Into freedom, but only by the words of God. This morning, I don't know everyone's story. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what desert you are in. But this I know, that Moses said one day a prophet would come, and that prophet would share the words of God with us, and those words would be freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from doubt, freedom from confusion, freedom from thoughts like, I'm a nobody. You ever have those thoughts? You ever wake up and look in the mirror and go, who am I? Am I really worth it? Am I really special? Teenagers, you ever come home from school and people were sharing words about you and those words just crushed you? And you wondered, are they right? Is that really who I am? Am I worthless? See, in those moments, in those desert places, is when Jesus speaks. And he says things like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Nobody leaves the desert except by me. Jesus. Let's close out by going to the book of Revelation. We've been in Revelation for the last 2 weeks. We always seem to end up there. But what you need to see is the whole point of the series is that Jesus has always been the answer for every generation. Whether it was from the beginning of time, whether it is to the end of time, the answer is always Jesus in your life. And in particular today, the answer for your life is listening to the words of Jesus and following those words to get out of the desert places. And in Revelation chapter 19, we read this last week. In verse 11, it's a scene. It's a scene from heaven. It's one of the final scenes in the world. And it says this, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True, and with justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are blazing like fire, and on his head are many crowns, and he has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. Verse 13, he is dressed in a robe that is dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. Thousands of years ago, Moses said, a prophet is coming. Listen to him. And when you listen to him, he will lead you out of the desert. And in Revelation 19, we see the Word of God. We see the prophet of God. And he is coming to defeat evil. In fact, he has already done it by his death and resurrection on the cross. I don't know what desert you are in this morning, but let me tell you this. There is no desert that is too dry. There is no desert that is too big. You cannot wander far enough away from God that he cannot overcome. Yes. That is the word of God to you this morning. That is the word of God that Moses spoke about. In Deuteronomy 18. In fact, that is the word of God that God has always had since before time. And that word to you was Jesus will come one day and he will be the prophet and he will speak my words. In fact, he will be the word. And when you put your hope and trust in him, when you follow him, you will leave the desert.
the sea will split and you will walk right through it. Amen? I don't think you heard me. You see, when you put the word of God into your life, when you follow Jesus the prophet, when you put your hope and your trust in him, the seas will split and you will walk right through them. Amen. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. You need to understand the hope that is here this morning for you in the word of God, and his word is Jesus. I don't know what desert you're in. I hate being in deserts. I hate being lost. I hate being confused. I hate being scared. I hate feeling worthless. But when I'm in those deserts, I remember what Jesus Christ has done. And what Jesus Christ has done is he gave his life on a cross and he rose again. And he said, Bobby, I want you to come out of the desert. Not by your power, but by my power. God's promise to you and I was a prophet, and that prophet's name is Jesus. And if we would listen to him, you could walk out of the desert today. But you're going to have to listen to him tomorrow too. And probably next week. In fact, I'm pretty sure next year you're going to have to listen to him. Because the moment you stop listening to the prophet is the moment you're stuck in the desert, right? That first generation, they listened to God all the way up until they got to the promised land, and then they stopped and they wandered. You know that second generation, they listened and they walked into the promised land, but you know what they did when they were in the promised land? They stopped listening to God. It's not just a one-time thing. Every day you need to listen to Jesus. Every day you need to get into his words. This Bible, this book are filled with the words of Jesus. You need to read this. You need to apply this to your life, because the moment you stop listening to the words of God is the moment that you are back in the desert. Jesus is the hope for every generation. Jesus is the prophet. I want to give you an opportunity to listen to the words of God right now in your life. I want you to take a moment, and I want you to ask Jesus to share some words with you. I don't know what he needs to say to you, because he's got stuff he's got to say to me. But I want to take some time and do that right now. So let's listen to Jesus in our life. A lot of times we wonder where God is. It's not where God is. It's are we listening to Jesus? He wants to speak to you through Jesus. We need to listen. This morning, if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, if he's not your Savior, if you haven't asked him to forgive your sins, if you haven't asked him to rescue you from the desert, you need to do that this morning. You need to realize who Jesus is and who we are and how much we need him. If you're a believer, if you've been following Jesus for a week, a year, for decades, you need to listen and you need to follow, right? Jesus is God's word to us, and that word is life. Amen.